Good to be here. Good to see some familiar faces. Great to see new faces. Maybe some of you probably don't remember me. Last time I was here, I think it was 10 years ago. I would certainly like to thank this church for their faithfulness to us over the years and just the relationship we have with this church. And it's our home church. It's our base church for many years now. And I'd like to thank Scott and Lynn Theriot for taking in stray missionaries from time to time and taking us in, housing us, feeding us, and taking care of us. It's been a blessing. What I would like to do is I have a short video clip that I would like to show of three testimonies of some folks that attend our church. And the reason I did it this way, it's in French and in English. I just want you to get a little bit out of your comfort zone while they give their testimonies in French, then they'll do it in English, just so that you understand, you know what, it's any missionary that goes to a foreign field that has to learn a different language, there's a lot he has to penetrate through before he even thinks about reaching people for Christ. So if we could play that video clip.
Hi, my name is Jay Avis, your missionary in Quebec. What I've done is made a short video clip of three testimonies of people who attend our church, and I hope that it'll be an encouragement and a blessing for you folks.
Greetings from the folks here at Église Baptiste Centrale de la Rive-Sud. First of all, I want to thank you for the years of support you've sent us. We have several testimonies for you folks today. The first testimony will be Marc Lacroix. He'll give you a testimony in French and in English.
Alors bonjour, je suis Marc Lacroix. Je suis sauvé en Christ depuis plus de 2 ans et cela a changé ma vie complètement. Et bien sûr, je suis très heureux de cette évolution spirituelle et j'espère que vous serez bien sûr voir toute la lumière qui s'est faite dans ma vie. Amen.
Et en anglais.
I'm Marc Lacroix. I'm saved in Christ since 2 years. It has transformed and changed my life since then. I think it brings me a lot of spiritual evolution in my life, and I thank Christ for this. Amen.
Okay. The next testimony will be from Daniel Montpain.
Bonjour, mon nom c'est Daniel. Alors, moi, mon histoire est un peu plus compliquée que celle de Marc. Parce que j'ai abouti dans un pensionnat quand j'étais petite, où est-ce que j'ai pu commencer à lire la Bible. J'étais très jeune et j'ai accepté le Seigneur étant très jeune. Et je me suis un peu égarée pendant mon adolescence, mais je suis revenue plus tard au Seigneur, réalisant qu'on ne peut pas cacher la lumière sous le boisseau, il faut la laisser briller. Pour que tout le monde puisse l'avoir. Alors, depuis ce temps, je suis Seigneur avec son aide, bien sûr, et tellement heureuse d'avoir trouvé cette église il y a près de 2 ans. Je remercie le Seigneur pour l'enseignement dans cette église qui vraiment me soutient et m'encourage à tous les jours. So, I was saying, my story is a little bit more complicated than Mark's. When I was little, I ended up in a boarding school where they... we're Christians, and they allowed us to read the Bible, which was strange here in Quebec, but anyways, we were reading the Bible, and I got saved at a very young age, but when I was a teenager, I went astray for a little while, and then came back in my early 20s, realizing that you cannot hide the light under the bushel, there you go. Because Christ's light shines and you have to let it shine and show it to everybody. So I've been following the Lord with His help since then. And I've been so happy to have found this church a couple years ago, and so happy with the teachings of this church And thank you for your support. I really am blessed in this church. It helps me grow, and it helps me stay on the right path. So thank you very much.
Okay. Third, Francine King. Go ahead, go right up to you.
Bonjour, je m'appelle France Lépine, je suis née au Québec d'une famille catholique romaine. À l'âge de 19 ans, je me suis rébellée parce que je voulais connaître le Christ et c'était impossible. Alors, de l'âge de 19 ans à 39 ans, j'ai tout essayé, étudié la Bible avec différentes confessions religieuses. Et en 2000, Madame Abiche est venue cogner à la porte chez moi pour me donner l'opportunité de venir étudier la Bible. Alors, c'est ce que j'ai fait avec mes deux enfants. Et grâce à l'Église, mes deux enfants et moi avons été sauvés. Et il y a 14 ans de cela, alors il n'y a jamais depuis ce temps-là une journée où je ne remercie pas Dieu du temps, de la dévotion et du don gratuit de la vie éternelle. Et merci beaucoup pour tout le support. Hello, my name is France Lépine. I'm born in Quebec from a Roman Catholic church. At the age of 19, I rebelled against the teaching, so I left the church. For 20 years, I tried almost everything under the sun. And 14 years ago, Madame Lena Bich knocked at my door to give me the chance, the opportunity to study the Bible with them. And since that day, I received the Lord as Savior. I'm learning the Bible. Both of our sons were saved. So thank you very much for all your prayer time and giving. And praise the Lord for the wonderful things that happened to me. Bye.
Just pan across everybody and just wave everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay. Cut.
Pray for the spiritual growth of these folks and pray for souls in Quebec. We thank you for your continued support and prayer for this ministry. And we hope that the Lord bless your ministry.
So this gives you a little taste of, you see that there's not hundreds of people at the church. The church was started in 1994. And I do have a little more liberty here this morning, as there's not a service that follows, but I'm going to take a longer time. We had a fellow pass away last year. He went home to be with the Lord. How many of you ever heard of the Jack Chick tracks? Yeah. That guy translated some of those in French. And the French ones are translated by this guy that went to our church. His name was Maurice Moineau. Got saved in 93 and he died of cancer last year. But he literally witnessed to hundreds of thousands of people. Literally. He never won one person to Christ in Quebec. We have a nurse that goes to our church. Her name is Simone Paul. No fear whatsoever to witness to patients. She can get fired for what she does. She's done that for years. Never won one person to Christ. Never. And she's still going strong. She's a good woman. This year, I had the idea, you know, we have a lady that comes to our church. She runs a home for troubled youth. You know, she's got about four young men, four or five in. I said, you know what? We got some young people in our church. This is an idea. I just said to this one young man, Bojidar, that we got a Bulgarian family that comes to our church. And I said, why don't you do a Bible study? Why don't you give them a Christmas? We'll buy the presents. The church will buy the presents. So he ran it by this lady. We ran it by her. She said, that would be a great idea. Because normally you can't do that. You want to get into a nursing home? Like your mother's nursing home? Can't get in because you're not Catholic. Prisons or whatever, you can't. If it's not Catholic, you're not really getting in. That's just the way it is. Only recently have we had like television broadcasts with evangelical messages. They broadcast the gospel in from Plattsburgh, New York, because up until a few years ago, it was illegal to have any kind of alternate point, quote-unquote Christian view up in Quebec. Up until the 50s, they were persecuting people like us. And I'm talking jailed, One guy I had over for dinner who was a missionary for over 40 years in Quebec, John, they lit his coat on fire while he was street preaching. They burned a Baptist church down in Shawanigan. And that's just the way it was. You know, today what we fight against mostly is humanism, socialism, globalism. And, you know, I got frustrated one Sunday school because during our Sunday school, when I teach, it's open forum. You can ask questions, you can make comments or whatever. Walter's there, you know. And there's a lot of people that come for Sunday school. I mean, that was a down day. We might have 30, 40 people come on Sunday morning. We're having Christmas dinner. There's probably going to be 60 people there. A lot of them will be unsaved. You know, that's the way it is. And they don't come back. You know, they hear the gospel, they don't come back. Lynn's a school teacher in the public school system. And, you know, if she were to tell the teachers what she believes about creation and what we believe from a grammatical, literal interpretation of the Bible, they would think that she is absolutely crazy. Crazy. And one day I just threw my arms up in Sunday school and I said, you know what? You know what the problem is here? I asked them, I said, how many of you had a university professor who had a biblical or Christian worldview? None of them. I said, now you come here on Sunday morning and I'm supposed to undo all that they've done all through your lives. Yeah, go figure. Mentioned the University of Massachusetts. I got to share this with you before I get into the message because it's pretty amazing. We went to Glacier National Park in August. It was the vacation of a lifetime. I mean, we saved for it for a few years, and I wanted to go to Glacier. We spent 2 weeks there. We went all over. I took pictures. I painted. It was great. I loved it. And I have to say, every time we went for a hike, the Lord put us with somebody that I witnessed to. I witnessed to more people in 2 weeks in Glacier National Park than I've been able to really in Quebec in the last few years. It's just the way it is. But at one point, we were at Logan's Pass, which is the Continental Divide. Beautiful area. It's a magnificent area. We hiked back in for about a mile and a quarter on a manicured trail. But then if you want to go back into the lake that's there, you got to watch out because there's grizzlies there. There's grizzly bear. But I said, let's go a little further. And Lynn said, okay, we'll go a little further. So we went a little further and there was a little spot where three young guys were taking pictures. And they were college students. And, you know, we got to talking, you know, and I said, well, what do you do? Oh, I'm pastor of missionary. I was like, oh, yeah. And I said, well, you know what? Before I became a Christian, I used to spit at the name of Jesus Christ. I used to mock people. I was an atheist. And one young man said, well, what made you change? Got into my testimony. I got into the political realm. I got into the scientific realm. I got into this, that. Lynn was there. These guys, I'm telling you, these three guys who were like this. And all I can say is the Holy Spirit just took charge, and those guys, but one was in environmental sciences, one in business, one in economics. They were from the University of Massachusetts. That's where they were from. So who knows what the Lord's got in store. Okay, here we go. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Before I get into this, as I said to the other congregation that was here this morning, I don't want to seem too cynical or negative. I'm pretty transparent when I preach, and you'll understand what I'm talking about as I get into it. Some of you who are familiar with me already know. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's start in verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Let's pray. Father and Lord, we come before you in prayer, and we pray that you would bless the reading of God's Word, the teaching of God's Word this morning. And I want to thank you, Lord. We don't want to take for granted the liberty that we still have in this country to gather without threat of death or without threat of imprisonment to hear the teaching and preaching of God's Word. Now, Lord, this is an awesome responsibility before me today. Help me, Lord. And I just pray for this congregation that they would receive this message in the spirit of Christ. And, Lord, that it would be edifying in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the greater part of Hebrews chapter 11 encourages the believer in what biblical faith can accomplish. But verses 35 through 38 focuses on what faith can endure. Despite the strength of the enemy or the difficulty of the obstacle, faith in Christ gives us the victory. Verses 35 through 38 paint a somber picture of trials and torments that the saints of the Old Testament heroically endured. Let it be clear that their faith was no less triumphant than the saints mentioned in the first part of the text. What should astonish the New Testament believer about these saints who endured is that they seem to understand better than the New Testament North American Christian Paul's words in Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. How difficult is this truth for us to grasp, in that the faith that endures hardships and seemingly temporary defeats is as victorious as the conquering faith described in the preceding verses. Do we not understand that these seeming reversals and defeats also come from God? Romans 8:28 says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose." And in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Right! I'm going to get into my danger zone now. I've been saved for 40 years now. Can you believe it? 40 years. When we drove up here and we saw the building, I have to say I almost started to cry, because when we first came here, we had little kids. We're grandparents now. And when I first got saved, I remember what it was like. Don't you remember what it was like? Happy, 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 happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Didn't you learn that in Sunday school, some of you? You remember that little Sunday school ditty? Yeah, you won't always be happy in Christ. I'm telling you right now. I'll tell you why. Because Christianity is a warfare. We are in hostile territory. We're in hostile territory. And I thought, oh man, this message will probably really be appropriate. I don't want to rattle if Hillary gets in. I talked with Pastor David G. I've never done this, but three, 4 weeks ago, I prayed and fasted for the elections. I just took the day and I prayed and fasted. I said, I don't know which direction this country's headed in, but it's in your hands, Lord. Either way, it's in the hands of the Lord. But getting back to ministry, you know, we've been there. That church was started in 94. We took it over in 2000. There's a few more people there now, you know, but it's like, I come away scratching my head. It's like, I've given the filet mignon of my life up in Quebec, and I just scratch my head. It's like, you know what? Am I a failure? I don't know. I mean, there's been so many problems. It cycles through. If it's not in ministry, it's with the kids. If it's not with the kids, it's the grandkids. Well, one grandkid, you know, has a seizure. He's got epilepsy. The other one, if he falls, or, you know, there's always something going on. And I remember Lynn just said at one point, "Jay, I just want to scream and run. Scream and run." And I thought of, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing. And I thought, scream and run, there's a problem brewing, scream and run. And, you know, that's just reality. But someone said, and I'll read this for you, someone has rightly stated, knowing how to suffer according to the will of God is one of the highest and noblest of spiritual exercises. And I'll tell you right now, the Lord Jesus Christ understood this all too well. Let's look at something about the sufferings of Christ here. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 and in verse 8. We read in verse 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. That's interesting. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. You know, I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know where you're at in your spiritual walk, but I'll tell you what. If the Lord wants you to grow, He knows just where to put the finger in your heart. He knows just what to do, how to just get you to the point. It's like, okay, Lord, I'll do it. Or it's like, Lord, please stop. I'll do what you want. I'll be obedient. Because the Lord uses sufferings. The Lord uses trials to mold and shape His people. That's just the way it is. And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Suffering is to bring about yieldedness. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. If you're going through something right now in your life, I'll tell you what. Jesus Christ went through it too when He was here on this earth, and He goes through it again because He lives in you if you're saved. He understands. But suffering is designed to bring about obedience. You know, Lynn has a degree from Concordia University on teaching English as a second language. With that degree, she can go anywhere in the world and teach English. It's recognized worldwide. But when she was in one of her classes, one of her teachers said, "We should celebrate rebellion. Let's celebrate rebellion." Oh, yeah, idiot. Celebrate rebellion. And then you be a teacher and you go in the class with a bunch of rebellious students and they just won't listen to you because they don't respect any authority. Let's celebrate rebellion. You know how many teacher burnouts are up there in Quebec? They burn out because they can't control the classes. Let's celebrate rebellion. I remember when our kids were little, you know, and they were teething. I wouldn't give them anything to alleviate the pain. And all of the young brothers and sisters in Christ were, "Jay, you're so mean." I said, "Listen, I want them to go through pain. You know why? Because life is pain and suffering." It's like, "Jay, you take a negative view." I'm the eternal pessimist. Pastor Klaus would have told you that. He's the eternal optimist. I'm the pessimist. You know, the Bible in Isaiah says, Christ was despised and rejected of men. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And here's the paradox. Despite that, He had joy. I'm still trying to wrap my head around that. Happy, I'm not so happy. But you know what? You can have joy. You can have joy if you know the Lord. Look it over in Matthew chapter 16 for a moment, please. Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Now, this is just after Peter's confession of faith. And Jesus said, "Peter, it's the Father that's revealed it to you." Just after that, in verse 21, Matthew 16. "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him, saying, 'Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee.' But He turned and said unto Peter, 'Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men.'" Wow. Not good marketing for a following, huh? We live in a day and age of marketing. You got to market. Image is everything. You got to market things. You got to know how to sell yourself. How about this one? A beaten, bloody, crucified Savior. How's that for a package deal? Do you understand what I'm saying? Peter couldn't think like Christ on the subject of suffering at this point in his life. He learned, and we'll see that in a minute. Look at Matthew 26, please. Matthew 26. (clears throat) 38-39. Then said he unto them, this is Jesus, talking to his disciples, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Here we see a life of yieldedness and faith led to Christ's confidence in the will of his Father, even in his darkest hours. And I'll tell you what, you and I will go through dark hours. But on the other side of the darkest hour of Christ was the resurrection and glory. And though you may go through the valleys, and though you may go through the dark hours, remember, God is in control, God will give the victory, and there'll be a blessing on the other side. Look at the warning of Jesus Christ here in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. If I go a little bit longer, just give me a little grace here, okay? We drove down from Quebec, so be kind to me. John 15, verses 18 through 20. If the world hate you, hey, how about that one for a positive note? If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own, but because ye are not of this world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. I don't like to be hated. And I'll tell you what, if you're a teenager in a public school, you don't want to be hated by your classmates either. And if you've got to stand up for Christ, man, I'll tell you what, in today's day and age, I wouldn't want to be around. It's tough. The greatest difficulty for the Christian of the postmodern, industrialized, high-tech world is to accept sufferings, trials, and tribulations in a biblical, Christ-like fashion. Comfortable Christianity leads to a complacent Christianity, and a complacent Christianity leads to a callous Christianity, and a callous Christianity will lead to an apostate Christianity, and the gospel of repentance and faith becomes the social gospel of the postmodern church. Look at Christ's counsel in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, look at verses 23 through 25. And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Radical teaching about a radical life. Because the ancient Greek culture was an integral part of the philosophy of the Roman Empire. In a culture caught up with philosophy, higher learning, beauty, physical culture, prominence, popularity, and possessions. Sound familiar? Christ taught a life of crucifixion, humility, self-denial, and the reality of rejection. Count the cost. Understand the implications as well as the demands of the crucified life. I saw a story, this is going back a few years, of a soldier coming back from Afghanistan. He got caught in a blast of some kind, third degree burns over most of his body, he was in a wheelchair, And you know, he got off the plane, and you know, the journalists are there interviewing, stuck a microphone in his face. Well, was it worth it? Was it worth it? You know, that guy went into the service, he knew he'd be going into war. He knew he'd be probably giving his life for a cause. Was it worth it? You know what? Will the cross be worth it someday? Will the crucified life be worth it someday? The Christian has to believe that, for that's the very thing that gives him or her the hope to keep going on. I my mother's got Alzheimer's. She doesn't even recognize me anymore. She's in a nursing home. And I remember my mother threw me out of her house 3 times in the last 10 years. And the one time, it maybe because it was the Alzheimer's, the other 2 times, she had her highs and lows. She always had a problem with depression. She always had a problem with anger. And my grandmother was the same way. And you know what? I have bouts. I have these times of crises, and I have times of deep depression. I remember talking to Steve a few years back, and he told me something about depression, that it was like masked anger or something like that. And you know, I thought, if that's the case, and we were talking about another lady that was coming to our church that I was trying to deal with, but as he was talking to me, it was like, something wrong with me here too. And you know, a lot of it was, and still is from time to time, I get angry because it doesn't go the way I think it should go. I want it to go my way. Even in Jesus, I want it to go my way because, and I'm not talking about being fleshly in the sense of, I want it to go my way because I want to run after the flesh. No, no, no. In ministry, it's got to go this way. If you do this, this will be the result. And I find that doing this produces no results. And it's like, well, I don't understand. And then I get angry. And I'm honest with God in prayer. And I'm honest with you folks. I get angry. You know, Moses got angry. Hit that rock 2 times. And sometimes I feel, oh man, I'm going to make the same mistake Moses did. But when you come to a point where it's like, you know what, Lord? This is the way it's going to turn out. So be it. And I thought of something. As a Christian, life is what happens while we make our plans. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not always going to go our way. It's going to go the way God wants to go. Let me give you some encouragement. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Look at verses 1 through 4. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. I'm glad I have the assurance of eternal life. I'm glad I have the assurance of eternity with God. Because if it wasn't for that, I'd be far away. Here's where I'd be. In the Yukon, homesteading with a log cabin, firearms, my wife, a dog team with a dog sled, and just leave me alone. That's my dream. Just let me talk to Brother Armstrong before I leave to get the right firearms for the big game. But you know what? Because I know the end of the story, and because some of you who are saved, you know the end of the story, you get through it. You get through it because you know, at the other end, there's going to be a blessing. And while I'm going through it, Christ is there and God's love is there. Look at the testimony of the apostles in Acts chapter 4. They were threatened. In Acts chapter 5, they were beaten. And what do they say? They rejoice in that they counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. We don't think like that. We just don't think like that. A lot of us. It's not natural to us. Look at what the Apostle Paul went through. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Start in verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Happy, 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 happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Paul did it. Paul had the victory, but I tell you what, that guy was a soldier. 1 Peter. Remember Peter? Lord, not going to happen to you. Not you. You're the Lord. You're the Messiah. You've got it all under control. And us? We're the apostles. We're going to reign with you. Hey, one thing you didn't understand. No crown before a cross. Got to go through the cross before you get the crown. 1 Peter chapter 4. Starting verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, there it is, happy are ye! For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Hey, Christian, it's not unusual that you suffer. It's going to pay off one day. Just understand the implications of your suffering. It glorifies God. Suffering for sin has no benefit, but suffering for Christ glorifies God and reaps an eternal reward in heaven. Let me give you 5 keys in ending this message. 5 keys to enduring faith. Look it with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 8 through 11. And I'm in 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And yes, verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. You want to live the resurrected life? You want to have the victory of the resurrected life? You got to live the crucified life. There's no resurrection without crucifixion. Look at verses 17 through 18, same chapter. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Keep an eternal perspective. Secondly, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 2. It says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He went through it too. He had the victory. And if he lives in you, you'll have the victory too. Isaiah 26. This is the third thing. Isaiah 26. Look at verses 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Stay in fellowship with God. Meditate on the Lord. Have fellowship with him. Psalm 119, verse 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Meditate in God's word. Have those scriptures going on in your mind and your heart. And Galatians 5:16, the fifth one says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. We have the Comforter. We have the one who has the victory and promises the victory. Ephesians chapter 3, 21, 20 and 21 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I'm still trying to understand that one too. According to the power that worketh in us. I guess it's my idea of exceeding abundantly is not what God's idea is about all that. And you know what? If we can understand those things and walk in the Spirit, we'll be able to say with the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Like those saints of old, who went through sufferings, torment, persecution, reversals, whatever they had to go through, they went with it. They went through it. And you know what? They were looking for the Messiah to come. We're on the other end of that. There's no real excuse. We have Christ. Do you have Christ this morning? Do you know for sure if you were to die tonight that you go to heaven to be with the Lord? I'll tell you what. You know what? If you're not saved and you're going through difficulties in this life, you think, man, this life really, I won't say it, but stinks. If you're not saved, man, this is just the beginning of your eternity of torment in a place called hell. But if you're saved and you have Christ, not only will you have the grace and the victory to go through life's trials and life's difficulties and complications. But those very things will reap for you an eternal reward in heaven, dependent on how you respond to the things that God sends in your lives. I'll leave you with those thoughts.
Forever. Lord, I pray that we would be able to seek joy in those things and seek joy in you, that would get us through our difficult circumstances. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple things just to remind you of before you're dismissed. Number one, as we go through Mission Conference Wednesday, we're going to be talking about going through how it is that we reach out to secular universities. And so that's going to be 7 o'clock. Make sure you're here for that. Thursday, we're going to talk about how it is that we can reach out to what we call creative access countries. Those are countries that missionaries technically aren't allowed in, but they're able to get in through some creative ways. And so we're going to be talking about some folks that are meeting to what we oftentimes refer to as the 1040 window. And then Friday is going to be our family night. We've got a number of missionaries that are going to be here. And then remember, Sunday is Faith Promise. So be praying about what the Lord may put on your heart to be able to give for missions during the next year. Remember, if you haven't attended one of our guest receptions, make sure that you go over that direction. If everybody's going here, it just gives us an opportunity to get to know you a little bit better and you to get to know us. Secondly, remember that life groups are tonight. So if you're not attending a life group, check online. And we have some that are opening. And we're so thankful, again, to have the Abishes with us. For those of you who help with the chairs, if you could do that this morning, that would be wonderful as well. God bless you. You may be dismissed.